Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I think VCU for the School of the Arts is really one of the top in the country.
So really? I've never looked at the rankings.
You're free to offer an opinion, man.
I feel like it's a trashy school.
It's not a trashy school. It's a fine school.
Not only did he go to VCU, he's got a legacy now. He's got a legacy at VCU.
And also be careful about WVU because Robert sent in a deposit. So in for a dime, in for
a dollar.
I went
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, you know what? I like Faber because knowledge is good.
Emil Faber.
Funny is funny.
Always is.
For all these years. I'm sure he didn't do it for self-aggrandizement at all.
I love when he says all these
dogs. Look at it, went national. Look, he's playing it.
All these dogs are barking. I don't know why.
Because you've never taken a thing that wasn't spoon-fed you and not put it on the air. There it goes.
Hi, I'm the captain of the Evergiven.
Oh, no.
Boy, am I on a pickle.
I bet.
I don't mind telling you, I got a terrible pickle going on here. Hold on. Let me go outside for a second.
Yeah.
Please get outside.
In the engine room, I guess?
Yeah. I'm out on the deck right now. Look at that muddy water.
Oh, horrible, horrible.
Muddy water all over the place.
What are you doing in Egypt?
I got my pilot's license for boats.
It's a captain's
this
license.
This is my first gig, Rob.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Actually, it's Rob. And welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show, heard all across the fruited plain and around the world. Oscar, we actually start with a breaking news story today.
Really?
I don't know if you've seen this. It's all over the news. The Suez Canal in Cairo, Egypt, is blocked. A boat, because of poor visibility, ran aground. Turns out, one of these huge vessels has got the entire canal blocked. And it's stopping boat traffic.
Mm-hmm.
It's hampering deliveries. Stuff is going to be late because they can't get it out.
International commerce is on the brink of collapse.
8 tugboats are working to free this boat. It is called the Ever Given. It is 193.5 feet wide, this huge boat. Now, you would think, how does that affect us on the Mike O'Mara Show?
Mm-hmm.
Well, luckily, we have an insider on the boat that's going to Zoom with us. So let's throw it now. Do we have everything muted and we're all set to
go?
All right, let's key the Zoom. Hello, Cairo?
What's going on? I don't understand it.
Cairo?
Hello?
All these buttons.
Cairo, can you hear us?
Hello?
Hello, this is the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello?
Hello, we're calling Cairo. Who's speaking?
It's the captain of the Ever Given.
Yes.
Charlie Stewart-Stablack.
Oh, Charlie?
Yeah.
It's Rob.
Spiewak?
Yes.
Hi, Rob.
How you doing, Charlie?
Hi, I'm the captain of the Ever Given.
Oh, no.
Boy, am I on a pickle.
I bet.
I don't mind telling you, I got a terrible pickle going on here. Hold on. Let me go outside for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Please get
in the engine room,
here.
I guess?
Yeah. I'm out on the deck right now. Look at that muddy water.
Oh, horrible.
Muddy water all over the place. I tell you, it's crazy, crazy stuff.
Well, first,
here.
I got to ask a couple questions.
Yeah.
What are you doing in Egypt?
I got my pilot's license for boats.
It's a captain's
this
license.
This is my first gig, Rob. let me just try to get this thing off the mud.
Yeah.
I'm going to start the engine.
Yeah, that's
first.
A good
Hold
idea.
Just
yeah, goose it a little.
Here we go. Come on. Go, baby. Go. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, damn it.
Charlie.
Damn it. I don't understand.
did you try the choke?
Yeah. Let me try it, Joe. Hold on just a second. Here we go.
Oh.
Yeah. Now we're cooking with grease. We're cooking with grease, boy. All right, I'm going to try to move it.
Yeah, put it in reverse.
Here we go. Put it in gear. Oh, no!
Oh, Charlie.
It's going deeper into the mud.
You got to stop.
No, I can't stop. the momentum. This is a big ship.
It's very big.
Yeah. Oh, come on, baby.
Yeah, goose it.
Oh, that's doing some damage.
Oh, Charlie.
That's doing some damage.
You're scraping up the rims, Charlie.
Sorry about that. Oh, I'm going to go back in. Go back in right now.
Maybe you should push the choke back in because it sounds a little rich.
No, turn the engine off.
Just kill it.
Oh, woo! My God. Man. I'm back inside. Would have been nice to have a door, but I don't have one.
Charlie.
Oh, my God.
Charlie, you had one job to go straight.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
What happened?
I got distracted.
What distracted you?
My parrot.
What?
You have turned that off. Yeah. That's my...
You have a parrot?
Yeah, that's Scatter, my parrot.
His name is Scatter.
Thank you. Oh, boy. I'm so confused.
You have the type of pet parrot that lives in a cage or a parrot that lives out in the wild?
He's on my shoulder, Oscar.
Oh, like a pirate.
Yeah. My parrot. Did you get a dog, too.
Well, I understand you being distracted.
Yeah. All right. Quiet, parrot. Quiet. Quiet. Let me go outside again. I want to go outside.
Yeah,
see
go out and see what's on deck up there.
See if I can start this up again. Come on. Here we go, baby. Here we go. Charlie, the captain of the Ever Given. Charlie's the captain of the Ever Given. That didn't work. I'll try it again.
Yeah,
hold on.
Give it a little bit.
Here we go. All right, there we are. Yeah. Put it in gear. Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, mud and debris.
Charlie.
Oh, all these. Hello. Hello. Watch the show, Egyptians. Watch the show. Oh, that's not.
When you were approaching the Suez, Charlie.
Yeah.
Woo.
Did you know it was going to be when you were approaching the Suez Canal, did you know it was going to be so narrow? Did they give you a heads up?
Well, it was windy. All right. Yeah. It was kind of windy, and I had a little trouble, and I was listening to the radio. Got my radio here, right here.
Oh, you have a radio on board?
Yep. Can't get any signal, though. Can't get any signal out here at all.
Look for a Cairo 99.
Cairo, now that's funny. Shut up, Skipper.
Oh, the dog is named Skipper.
Scatter and Skipper. Scatter's my dog, and Scatter's my parrot. So distracted out here. I really am. It's ridiculous. I don't know what's going on. Hi, how you doing?
Charlie, have the authorities been in contact with you?
Yeah, they were trying to talk to me, but I'm busy. I'm trying to get this boat out of the, you know, I'm kind of like sideways here. I got no way to go here. Charlie, that's my Al Pacino.
I love when you do your voices.
All right, yes, sirree.
I'm curious.
Skipper!
You got this huge container ship. Do you know do you know what's in any of the containers? What are you shipping?
Hold on. Love that horn.
Yeah, I would think you'd want to not call attention to yourself. Maybe that's right. Hit the
Shut
horn.
Shut up! Scatter! Turn it off.
What's in do you know what you're shipping in any of your containers on your boat?
Frosted Flakes!
Oh, that's all? Just cereal?
Yep. I'm back inside.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm going to try it again.
Yeah.
Here we go. Big money.
All right. Let me look outside the door here. There we go.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, sounds like you can take it.
No?
All right. Hold on a second. I think it's working today. Here we go, in gear.
There it is.
No!
Oh.
That's scraping.
It's not working.
Scatter.
Get up, Scatter. Come on. Come on now. Both kind of been idle right now.
Yeah, it's just.
I don't know what's happening.
You can't put it in gear. You can't put it in reverse.
I can't put it in gear. I can't put it in reverse. reverse.
I'm sorry.
And totally. I'm not getting anything on the radio either. Turn the engine off. Oh, I almost had something there. Egypt 101.
I bet they would. Yeah. I bet they'd talk about your boat if you got the news.
Yeah. Charlie.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I understand that you're trying to get out of a jam. And
sure am, Oscar. It's quite a problem. I'm soaking wet, too. I was up to my waist in mud.
Oh yeah. No. You're kicking up a lot of mud with the engine.
No. And,
yeah, my hair is wet, too. Let me dry it.
Why do you have a hair dryer in the engine room?
Jennifer sent me a Con Air.
I didn't know you knew her.
That's right. Hey, watch what I get to do off the side of the boat.
What's that?
Right? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, using them all now. That's for sure.
It's called
all
the
right.
Head. Yeah.
Wonderful. Get out of here, Skipper. All right. One. Oh. There we are.
Are you
all
okay
done.
With supplies on the ship?
Yeah.
Oh, I got everything. Got Rice Krispie treats, yeah. Frozen pizzas. The engine works right now. I got Scatter, my parrot. I got a radio, but it doesn't seem to be working that well. Come on now.
Are you
Come
the only?
In.
Are you the
Come
only
in
person?
In Tokyo. What?
Are you the only person on the boat?
Yes. Yes, Rob. All the other crew left.
It's
they
the size.
Bailed. They jumped ship, but they really didn't have to jump. They just climbed down a ladder and walked because we were stuck to the land.
On the mud. You
know? Yeah. Turn the radio off.
This boat's as big as the Empire State Building.
Let me go back in the engine room.
It's just you and a dog
la, la, la.
And a parrot.
Blow the man down. Blow the man down. Skipper, shut up.
Charlie, how are you? Charlie, what's the best part of being at sea or in the canal?
Oh, the fresh air, Oscar. The fresh air is what I really,
really
enjoy.
Have you seen the pyramids?
Or the Sphinx?
Yeah, they're right over there.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Turn my hair dryer off. For God's sake.
Damn bird.
Oh my God.
At least turn off your hairdryer, I think.
Sorry about that.
Now, I do have a question. This is your first time through the canal. Do they. Oh, now the boat's leaking.
Oh, no.
No, that's my pants.
Oh, okay, good. Thank God for that.
That's my pants.
Your pants?
All right.
So, when you go through the canal, how do they handle it? Do you have an easy pass?
Come here, bird. I'm going to throw you over the deck. There you go.
Parents don't swim.
Like that. That one's not. Oh.
You would think he would have flown. He would have flown when you threw him.
Very, very frustrating.
I guess you clipped his wings.
Those were the sound effects you did last week.
That's right. So, Charlie.
The ones you cared about.
Oh, no. It's fun to talk
kidding.
To you, Charlie.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So you're going through the canal. Do you pay a toll? Do you use Easy Pass? Is there a guy in a booth? How does it work when you go through the Suez Canal?
No, just get stuck.
Oh, dear. It's not very wide.
Push harder, tugboat. Push harder.
There's 8 tugboats
Skipper!
Here.
Skipper!
Yeah.
Charlie,
yeah.
I thought you were a big dummy, but in fairness to you, there's only maybe, I would say, a quarter mile of straight path on the canal. The canal actually zigzags here and there from this aerial view. How are you right. How were you dealing with the zigzags beforehand?
Just trying to keep this boat running, Oscar. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm Charlie the captain. It's really frustrating though, and I'm running out of my Charlie voice after 12 minutes here. Listen, I gotta go. I can't do this bit. It's too hard.
Well, we wish you
Thank
all the
you.
Best, Charlie.
Thank
you
very
Charlie.
Much. Yeah, Rob wants to get out of it, that's for sure. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Good
Bye,
morning. Charlie. Good luck.
Time.
Keep
Good
us updated.
What, Charlie? Jesus. What?
The Zoom is still on.
You seem to still have the...
He's gotta hang up.
He still seemed to have the sounds of his. I don't know what's going on. The ship's engine is still doing that, but at least Skipper, we don't have the dog.
Skipper,
right. Oh, Skipper, no. The dog. Yeah,
that's great. Let me shut that off. All right.
So we've
Skipper
got to
scatter.
Oh my God! All right. Yeah. Sometimes things that are great at first aren't always great the second time around. Hi everybody. Hi. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Yes. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
No more Charlie voice.
Yeah, it's kind of pandemonium over there in the. I guess it's wind that jammed this boat in.
And they said sand. It was kicking up sand, and it is. It's a treacherous little path. So, you know, maybe not so easy.
You know, some of the voices that Mike O'Mara did in his late 20s.
How's your boom?
Don't seem to do the same thing in his 60s.
It's kind of like the latter-day Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yes, yes.
I'm hearing an echo of sorts.
Yeah, do you have the?
Oh, you are?
I don't think that's Charlie, is it?
No, I don't think so.
There we go.
Let me turn that off. There we go. That's it. All right.
I think Skipper forgot to leave the Zoom call.
Is that better now?
Yes.
I'm back.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes. There's just sometimes you'd like to have an engineer.
Yeah.
You know, really. Doing all of that, it's a little difficult.
Understand.
Absolutely. A little crazy.
I think it's suspect. It makes a lot of sense that Charlie was involved. That a gust of wind could actually jam up a canal.
Yeah,
I feel like even reading that story doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it I think it all goes with news cycles, and when it's a slow news cycle, you have that incredible exposure that we get with the Suez Canal. But hey, it happens. They're saying though that with COVID and that ship, I did a deep dive on this last night.
Uh-huh.
They're saying that with COVID and that ship, that it could disrupt. The economy. There's mm-hmm. so much shipping traffic.
Yeah.
10% of the world's goods or something, some amazing number like that, that between the COVID disruptions and a disruption like that.
Yeah.
And they're saying to float the ship and actually get it through that canal may take about 2 days with tugboats.
Oh, God. And, even when they do it.
I had a tugboat sound effect, but I didn't get it. But, you know.
Even when they do it, I mean, they still have, the boat is destroyed, so they have to offload all that stuff, too. So it's not just a matter of, like, pulling it out and setting it off. They have to pull it into
right.
port and start from square one. But if you think that it's two, not, by that time, it'll be 3 full days of no traffic through the canal, that's enough
right.
to upset stuff. That's bad stuff.
Yeah. So, well, good
is
luck
it,
to Charlie.
Is it strange when I think of canals, I think of the C&O canal that I've never seen have water or a boat move in.
I think of the Panama Canal, which is kind of, you know, similar. But I mean, the Suez Canal is, I forgot how many massive container ships go through there without a lot of clearance on either side.
Yeah.
So we'll see what
it's
happens.
It's blood diamonds, I heard.
Tabs. It's the blood diamonds. It can be a, but Rob, you brought up something interesting in the pre-show that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah, the slime ball.
Obviously, you weren't prepared for that either, but that's okay. What did you want to talk about?
I was quite prepared, I think.
Jesus Christ. Sometimes I just need help.
So there's a guy.
Yes, go ahead.
There's a guy that's being investigated by Prince George's County Police for essentially being a slime ball. This broke this morning. He has been telling people that he's been working with Dr. Fauci at NIH for the past year. He's dating women, asking them for money. And then it turns out he's a video contractor for NIH who has never met the doctor.
Does he know Charlie?
I don't know if he knows Charlie, but this lady who went on record under just her first name, Camille, said that he identified himself as Dr. Ronald Harvey Daniels as a researcher on Dr. Fauci's team on the COVID-19 and bilked her out of $30,000.
My God.
What a slime ball.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know much about that. Hey, Oscar.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you now.
Yes.
So that was interesting. Let me ask you, Oscar. Are you getting the vaccine? Actually, did I hear that you're getting the vaccine?
Vaccine is top of mind. Mm-hmm. Yes, and thank you for bringing that up. My my wonderful wife just this morning secured my vaccine that will happen on my birthday, which is a few days away here.
March 30th, right?
Yes, March 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I am proud to say that just yesterday in the afternoon, my wife and our business partner, Charlie Burney, got their vaccine. And it seems like
that's
it's
awesome.
All coming together.
How did she get the availability? Was she notified by email? Did she hunt it out? What happened?
Well, it's interesting because a while back, there was... Remember, we were getting a bunch of advice from different listeners of how to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
Whether it's to go and wait in line.
And then we had one listener that actually had action on her mind.
Right.
And for you. That was for you. My hero. For you. Well, it was just, it was... Well, I'm 61.
Plenty of people have helped us.
I'm 61.
60, with, wonderful.
With vulnerability.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Self-inflicted, that's why. Some say. Self-inflicted vulnerability.
Turning 61 is not self-inflicted.
No, but I could, you know what? He could make a case for that. Because I immediately went to my surgery. Mm-hmm. Then I went to pulmonary embolism. And it's like, well, maybe you wouldn't have needed. Yeah, but thank you for that. But no, Linda Herr.
A lot of people talked, but Linda Herr.
As a matter of fact, she sent me I saw online, there was a piece in a local publication that did an article on Linda. And the fact that she's now, I think, at 11 or maybe 12 people that she's gotten the vaccine for. But you did it on your own, Oscar Santana?
His wife did it.
Well, remember, we had two wonderful vaccine angels help my mom and dad. Oh, my mom. My dad had been taking care of my mom get taken care of 3 weeks ago now, maybe a month ago.
Right. Has she gotten her second shot?
Well, this is the crazy thing. My mom is going to get her second shot when I'm getting my first shot.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild?
That's wild.
And you've gotten one shot or two shots, Rob? I forgot.
I will get my second shot in 2.5 weeks on Saturday.
Okay, so all right.
But we determined that you won because you got your first shot after me, but because you're Pfizer, you have 0.9% more efficacy and only a 3-week wait. So you will actually be fully vaccinated before me, even though you got your shot after
April 8th is the date. But I'm really happy that you finally are taking care of this.
This was the telling moment. And for those of you out there that hate me, listen to this story carefully. I get a call yesterday from another vaccine angel. Another vaccine angel.
Really?
That says, hey, we've got two doses. You've got to get here within 2 hours. This is what the situation is. And I said, okay, I'm sending my 58-year-old business partner and my wife to get done. And they're like, what about you? And I said, I will be taken care of in due time. I know I'm in the queue in DC. No worries.
Okay.
And I sent my wife and our business partner, Charlie, out to get the vaccine. They get it. Thank you to the wonderful vaccine angel that does not want to be mentioned.
How old's Charlie, if you don't mind me asking?
58. I just said that.
He's 58. Okay. 58, all right.
Yes.
Did they get Moderna or did they get Pfizer or what did they get?
I didn't even ask what it was.
Okay.
Because every vaccine counts.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I want to know is this.
I got some CB interference there. Is that Moderna. Zoom turned off?
What I want to know is this.
Scatter.
That's the AstraZeneca parrot.
Is it karma? Is it karma? Not Charlie. Is it karma, Charlie? No. Is it karma, Mike, that I gave up my chance to get a shot for my wife? That this morning I get notified by DC saying that I'm going to be vaccinated.
Attaboy.
That's good for you. Yay. That's awesome.
Karma.
You know what's weird about that? I was having a conversation with a guy at my kid's bus stop today who was asking about the vaccine. Younger guy than me. Very fit guy. But I was telling him about that, and I said, you got to sign up. It's actually a phone number that I use down here in Florida to get on the list for the Department of Health people that are doing it, the government doing it. And then Linda was able to get me private sector, CVS, and go out there. And oddly enough, right after she got me that appointment, I got a call back from the Department of Health that, by the way, the call was so bad, and I just dismissed it out of hand because I had another vaccine scheduled, but it was so bad. That
live person or mechanical?
It was a live person.
Oh dear.
And I swear to God, I dismissed it quickly. I didn't want to linger on it, but it was such a bad call and his English was so horrible.
Oh, no.
That I thought it might have been a scam.
Oh dear. That's not what you need when you're talking about that.
Is this Mike? You've got vaccine. You want a vaccine? That type of thing. And it never got to like social security numbers or anything like that.
Right.
But he didn't steal
your identity.
Let's say it happened to be legit.
Yes.
Then it would have happened right around the same time. These things seem to all happen together. So you send your wife and Charlie Bernie to get the vaccine. Yes. And then you get a call
this
back.
Morning, right before
really?
The show.
Wow. Yeah.
So what's your schedule? When do you go to get it?
On my birthday in just a couple days. I will walk into the Safeway and then I'll be good.
Safeway right up the road?
Right there.
Oh, that's great. Now, you know, he's not the only one who is scheduled for an injection on this show. Pony?
Ooh. Ooh, that's right. I'm going this Saturday for the Moderna vaccine.
Look at this guy.
And what else?
Well, be very careful because, you know, if you're not careful, that that needle will go clean through your arm.
it'll go into the left side.
No, you'll see all that vaccine just spray against the wall.
Right.
We're really moving. This is great.
On normal shots, Pony will actually get a shot in the butt. But the last time he got that, it also came out clean through the other side of his
body. One of my butt cheeks blew up like a balloon.
It's nasty. But congratulations.
But then he got three dates.
Pony, what was your process? How did you go about getting it?
I think I just got really, really lucky. And I was checking online just before going to bed. And I said, boom, there's my in. And I got it.
And Pony,
you know, I'm not sure whether we can say lucky anymore because it just seems to me
it's coming
that
together.
Every single day I'm reading about more people that are getting the vaccines. And, you know, as each vaccine is given, hope springs eternal. And I'm really, really excited. And I'm almost excited enough to say we have to start thinking about what our plans are going to be maybe next fall.
If everybody
fall.
Can stay alive, let's do a live show.
Why don't we do a live show?
That was a pack.
You still keeping your contacts active out there in Lost Wages?
What's great is three weeks ago, I had a conversation about this.
Yesterday, and, 3 weeks, whatever.
Yesterday was the call about Miami, and I was like, we're not going to Miami.
Okay.
Miami's
having a tough time.
They said we could fit you in, but the capacity, which was 400, can be 200. And they called me. It was a cold call to me, like, hey, if you guys feel like coming to Miami, and I said, maybe, what are we looking at? And he said, well, only 200 people, not 400 people. And I said, dicey at best,
right.
We'll figure that out.
Right. Is that because, that's not because of any rules. They don't have any rules down there.
Well, the establishment has its own COVID rules.
Oh, okay. That's the way they do it. They've could change.
Well, you wouldn't want any pesky government intervention in Florida, Mike. Always
they
makes things harder. Yes, I know.
Trust me. I'm reading about that, too. My God. There's an article the other day that the Spring Breakers, I think I mentioned this on yesterday's show, are leaving Miami maybe to come over to Fort Myers Beach, but I never heard anything. By the way, it's winding down. I heard the sound yesterday, overheard somebody saying, well, we're heading up north for good. We're heading up north for good next week. And I was like, oh my God, please, thank you, God. Bring the car carriers down here. Yes. Bring the car carriers down and send them all away.
Ever vigilant, Mike. Ever vigilant.
The bottom line is we can start thinking about these things.
Yeah,
we
can
start thinking about it.
But wear your masks. Don't get happy.
So were they, by the way.
Why'd you say it like that?
Yes, I believe in it. Okay. I believe in it. I mean, look, the vaccine is the key. Masks are also important, but I'm still on Miami. You know, where I would be able to drive to a show. Were there terms at all that they were discussing?
Not as favorable as Las Vegas.
Okay. All right.
Well, and also, they're not going to give us any parking, so driving not a real advantage. You have to pay for parking. And there's another medical update from Pony that is actually a way that he can say thank you to all the lucky ladies out there. Pony, tell us about your eyewear update.
Oh, yeah. So I went into an optometrist the other day. I hadn't been to one in years and years and years. And they were checking my eyes, and they were shocked to find that I had an astigmatism in both eyes. And they were wondering, like, why haven't you gotten glasses yet? And I guess you just get used to it over the years, and you don't realize you have a problem. So I also have glasses on the way. So
yes!
I'm fixing all of my problems at once.
Do you think the glasses will help you drive at night?
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah, I would think.
Well, that's why we call him Mr. N.
Mr. N?
N for neglect. He's Mr. N. Thank you.
Have you known you've had a sight problem for, let's say, the better part of the last decade?
I mean, I thought that my vision was a little fuzzy, but I didn't think I needed glasses. And then the optometrist was like, no, you definitely need glasses.
Describe, all right, when you say a little fuzzy. Pony.
Yeah.
What is a little fuzzy would be, what, like blurry when you're
That's
reading
what it
something?
Is. It's blurry. I have astigmatism, I know.
A little bit, yeah. And usually with like distance or sometimes things that are up close, it gets a little blurry. And I'm like, you know what? I'll get glasses later or I'll get contacts or something. I just kept putting it off.
Astigmatism is essentially, I believe, when the two images from both eyes don't mesh. So you're seeing like almost like two images at once.
No. Astigmatism is a... Astigmatism is kind of a... let me put those back up. No, it's your one eye is kind of cockeyed.
Yeah.
That's
what so the fact is that if you're like, having trouble.
You have a lazy eye usually when you're a kid. I had a lazy eye. I never really. Pony apparently had two lazy eyes.
Or for most of your adult life, you've been a chain smoker.
There's that. But
might be a little macular degeneration in
I'm
there.
I'm curious, Pony, if you don't see good close up or at a distance, is there a sweet spot where something looks good? Like if something is 8 feet away? I mean, is there anything that looks right for you vision wise?
Not when I'm here, no.
No.
Oh, okay, well, that's good.
Do your dolls all look smooth from far away?
Of course.
All right, congratulations. I'm glad that... how would you estimate how long you may have needed glasses, really, and be honest here?
Yeah.
God, probably a decade. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me. Right. You just get so used to it.
Hey, it's the astrogenic
opinion. I love when I walk in, I'm like, and I like a mom, I see something a little off at Podcast Village, and I say, Pony, come out here. And I point on maybe something that hasn't been turned on, if everything else turned on, and he's like, what? I said, you notice something different about all this? He's like looking around. Yeah. Now I know why.
Of course.
That's our pony. Congratulations.
Yeah, Pony.
Oscar's getting the vaccine. Pony's got glasses. Maddie, anything new in your life? Did you get anything new at all? Anything?
No, I wish.
Yeah.
Sad, poor Maddie.
Yeah. We'll take a break, and we will come back and talk more fun and more thrills with the homepage right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Parrot. Hello there. I know it might seem counterintuitive and maybe even silly to take advice from a promo, but I'm something of a famous radio pitchman. So this is something you can believe in. My mother always said that you can trust a man with facial hair. And if you have any confidence at all in the wisdom of a mother, it's time to stare at my drawn-on mustache and heed my words. Do you need a little more laughter in your dark, secluded, lonely life? Sure you do. You need the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. For pennies a day, the Bonus Show will take you from zero to hero. And all the ladies will be digging your scene. Grab it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. You'll be glad you did, and we'll be glad for you. Buy the Bonus Show and make me smile. A big, flashy, fake, insincere smile. You earned it, Pajango. Thank you very much, Phil. Appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but for the past year or so, fashion hasn't exactly been a top priority.
True.
But feeling sloppy eventually gets old, and no one wants to see you running around your neighborhood in your old sweats. Yuck.
Ugh.
Or especially the airport. That's the worst. It's a pants-demic, and the only cure is Public Rec. They make leisure wear in waist and inseam sizes because comfort starts with a better fit, especially during these tough times we've been living in. My favorite pants are their best-selling all-day, everyday pants. They're more stylish than sweatpants and a great alternative to jeans. And Public Rec has incredibly comfortable shorts, t-shirts, Henleys, polos, hoodies, jackets, even golf gear.
Hey.
You can live in this stuff. Public Rec rarely offers discounts, but right now they have an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Listen to this. You're going to love this offer at Public Rec. You go to publicrec.com/TMOS and use promo code TMOS to receive 10% off. That's Public Rec, spelled REC.com/TMOS, and use our promo code for 10% off. Start looking your best day. Oscar is now modeling.
Yeah, that's a PG-13 model right
there. The pants from Public Rec. Congratulations. I don't need
to see
that anymore.
Stay away from a hard R, please.
Public Rec. Check them out.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This jumped out at me when I was going through the news this morning. For the first time since the pandemic started, and I think this is a good sign, even though for some people it might not be, and some people might go, really? For the first time since the pandemic started, there's been a drop in alcohol sales. Sales were down 2% 2 weeks ago. 1 year ago, alcohol sales were up 55% because people were stockpiling booze at the beginning of the pandemic. But now, I think that's hopeful. People might be thinking about cutting back, not just sitting there in the bottom of a bottle. And I think that's kind of cool. I'm also a little bit still surprised by it that people aren't going out and buying booze. But maybe people are saying, okay, time to get my act together and go out and live.
I think it's not the case.
No, it's just because you quit, Mike.
No. It's not because of that either. The booze hounds are going to the outdoor patios.
My wife, by the way, in 2 days, I believe, will be off of her little program of 75 days alcohol-free.
Yeah.
She said she's not going to go back to wine. She doesn't want to do wine anymore. I don't know why, but that's her choice. But I think she is going back to having a drink. And I'll mention things occasionally to her. But I think I'm going to stick with it as long as I feel like it. So
Mike,
we'll see what happens.
I think you're making the right choice.
Yeah.
But for her, make sure you, before she comes back, hide all the wire hangers.
That's true.
Wire hangers. I don't miss it that much, sort of. A British court on Thursday refused Johnny Depp permission to appeal a judge's ruling that he assaulted ex-wife Amber Heard. This is still
a
going
thing?
On. I really feel like it's been a decade we've been hearing about this. Two Court of Appeal judges in the Hollywood Star said the Hollywood Star cannot challenge the High Court's rejection of his libel lawsuit against publisher of the Sun newspaper for labeling him a wife beater in an article. They concluded that the appeal has no real prospect of success. That's very British. Mm-hmm. And there is no other compelling reason for it to be heard. So this may be the end of all of that. But as we know, we've heard audio of Johnny Depp. We've read about the the $30,000 a month, speaking of wine, and wine purchases that he would make.
He's a thirsty guy. Yeah.
He was a bad guy. So I guess Johnny Depp is not going to get it appealed. So that's it. All right, I'm an NHL fan, and I like this story. And for those of you that follow the NHL like me, I hope you are into this, but I'll share it right here. All right, in the NHL, if you have a penalty throughout the game that's maybe a bad call, that looks like it shouldn't have been called.
Yes.
There is an unspoken rule that's been around for a while where you might get a makeup call. Mm-hmm. Announcers talk about it. You see it during a game. And it might be a cheapy penalty. They call
it
a cheapy
where
it's not that egregious a foul, but one team gets an unfair penalty from a ref, and later that ref calls a penalty on the other team to make up for it. A makeup call.
Sure.
Well, it was an unspoken practice in the league until now. The NHL announced Wednesday that Tim Peel's career, he's a referee, as a league referee, is over after he was picked up by a TV microphone saying he wanted to give the Nashville Predators a penalty, an incident that put the notion of makeup calls right in the spotlight. Mm. NHL Vice President of Hockey Operations Colin Campbell said nothing is more important than ensuring the integrity of our game and that Peel's conduct is in direct contradiction to the adherence to that cornerstone principle that we demand, blah, 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 that they go. It seems to me that this is a practice that's been around for a while, and maybe you take the guy off to the side, maybe give him a suspension, but he's going to retire, I think, this year, and I really feel like he was the guy they threw under the bus, and I don't know whether that's fair or not. Yeah, Oscar.
Loose lips sink ships.
Yeah,
the first rule about Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
Okay.
And if you want to
mic
these guys up, you got to say, hey, this thing's going to be on the entire time.
Whole time.
Don't give out your soch. Don't give out your trade craft.
Mike, a question about refs in the NHL. Are they largely ex-players or are they purely refs? Because if you ever watch them, they're amazing skaters. And, you know, they have to stay out of the fold.
Former figure skaters, competitive.
You know, when you talk about skating, not necessarily NHL players, but they're definitely competitive hockey players, most of them. Most of them are Canadian. They've had that. You know, they've skated since they were kids, and very cool. I have this distant memory of being in a hotel elevator with a bunch of these guys, and these guys that travel for a living that are on the road, it's really an interesting lifestyle. You know, they're kind of slicky boys, all of them. I think most of them probably skated for a while. And I just don't think this is anything other than standard practice
in
the NHL.
It doesn't exist in most sports.
Right. I think it does. I think you see examples of it in the NFL as well.
Yeah. And then the thing about it, also in the NHL, in a playoff game in the third period, watch how many penalties are called. Mm-hmm. They don't call penalties because they let it become a free-for-all. That's the way that goes.
You never see these players that are mic'd up in NFL games or even in hockey games. You know how you hear Ovi and you can barely understand what he's saying? It's like they have the, I guess, the know-how that they're not going to talk about their skate skanks when they're out there, right? They're going to talk about the game. They're not going to get involved with any of that nonsense.
Skate skanks.
And that's the name of the show.
Skate skanks.
Skate skanks.
Fantastic. Miller Lite released 3 candles, if you're lonely for bars, to make you feel like you're at a bar until you can finally go to them safely again.
Gross.
You know, it's weird to read stories like this when you're down here in Florida, because there have been people crawling into bars in Florida for months. Mm-hmm. It's scary.
It really hasn't stopped entirely, has it, at any point?
No. I mean, they had a really brief moment in time, and then they all pop back in there. Okay. Anyway, for most of the country, people are adhering to some of these guidelines. So Miller Lite came out with some candles. They're named Dive Bar, Beer Garden, and Game Day. They didn't take my idea of the urine candle that I really wanted to say.
Oh, dear.
But they smell like their names, and of course, it's America, and they sold out immediately.
Of course.
Congratulations, Miller. I appreciate it.
If you hand one of those Miller Lite candles to Oscar, he says, take this away. I can't light this.
Can't do it right now. There might not be any cooler funeral, I've always thought about this when I go, than a Viking funeral.
Yeah.
That's where your remains are set on fire and set out to sea. Actually, not necessarily in that order. My idea of the Viking funeral is that you push the boat out into the water, and then you have a flaming arrow that ignites it, but that might be a little too Viking. Unfortunately, Viking funerals are basically illegal everywhere in the United States. There are 2 spots in Colorado where you can burn people's remains outdoors, but they only allow 12 funerals a year. But that might be changing. The state of Maine. Is considering a bill right now that would legalize Viking funerals. I think that's exciting. I can't believe it. Open-air cremations is what the bill is about.
Fantastic.
The only requirements are that you'd do them through nonprofits that have at least 20 acres of space. Plenty of that up in Maine.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they say 20 acres, you're talking about the whole concept of a Viking funeral. Is it sea or out on a body of water,
a large body of water? You got lakes out there, people in lakes, right?
I would like, and this is something that, you know, I don't know if I go while we're doing the show.
God, I hope so.
Before you guys, knock on wood, take me to
the point. We're going to put your remains in a Wanda Farmer snack box.
Please. but make sure you find the right canoe made out of wood and take me to the point, your family point, Mike. I won't name the point. And just shimmy me off, and then have Shannon not with an arrow, more like a Molotov cocktail. Just throw the fire right on me so I can burn away as I'm going down.
That's not the plan we had, Oscar. Ours involved an equipment case in the Potomac River.
Yeah. Straight to the bottom.
But, Mike, this Viking funeral news is great news for Fran Tarkenton.
Oh, that's a Viking. That's a football joke. Look at how happy he is with that. He's very happy. It doesn't work when you reference a player that's like dead.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
No,
he's
with us. He's an all-time great.
Okay. Well, he was a giant too. You know. Do you know that I think of Fran Tarkenton, number 10 autographed book in my library somewhere that's probably been thrown away now. He was one of my heroes. The scrambling Fran Tarkenton. Do you know that he was a giant before he was a Viking?
I knew. Well, what I know about him is he was born in Richmond, and his little brother did weather on Channel 6 for a while. Chip Tarkenton.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Swear to God.
Chip Tarkenton.
Chip Tarkenton. Not as good looking as his brother.
Getting back to the cremation, Maine already has the highest percentage of people picking cremation over getting buried. About 3 out of 4 people in Maine go for cremation. You know, my parents were both cremated, and they both are in Frenchman's Bay right now.
Mike,
if this passes,
Frank Tarkenton, the most famous.
Fran.
I'm sorry, Fran Tarkenton.
Frank Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton. Tarkenton. Not Frank. Fran.
Nobody even knows who Fran Tarkenton is anymore, but I'm not.
If you look up the most famous Vikings, he's top 3 along with Randy Moss.
Of course he is. Yes. I know that, but his name is not Frank. But you called him Frank. I didn't need to say no more.
I've got astigmatism.
Frank Tarkenton.
Right. John Theismann.
That's right.
John Theismann.
Anyway, so Get cremated. Maybe they'll have Viking funerals. Hey, if they do, I'm signing up. Good. I'd like to do that. That would be very, very cool. And, you know, probably funny because something would definitely go wrong with that.
Yeah.
And now a little something. There's a guy named Eric, and he and his wife, Katie, were role-playing handyman and lonely housewife.
Oh, that's a good
game. When they came up with the idea to have the handyman remove a doorknob, and they would have sex through the doorknob hole.
Oh, yeah. Gross.
So Eric took some enhancement pills. That's an interesting addition to the story.
Hmm.
And they actually did start having sex through the door.
Of course they did.
But unfortunately, Eric got stuck and was in so much pain that they had to call 911. The paramedics couldn't get him free, so they had to saw off part of the door. And Eric went to the ER with his, they love to say, this little website that I get this stuff from, they love to say junk.
Yes.
They love
that, yes.
They love to say junk more than anything. Mm. But anyway, he got his thing stuck in the little square of wood. Fortunately, the doctors managed to get him free without any permanent damage down below. Now, what you don't know is the same thing happened in Ireland a few years back, but it wasn't the doorknob hole, it was the keyhole. See, Irish people have. All right, that's a continuous running joke. We have to take a break. When we come back, I think I want to dive into this whole idea of college scams and a documentary called Varsity Blues, Operation Varsity Blues, and what college is really worth. We'll do that next.
Oscar, it is your father.
I listen to The Mike Show.
The Mike Show!
And then,
The Mike Show!
There is a segment on The Mike Show where you talked about me dying and the list you gave me.
I am disappointed in you.
Am I your payaso? Which means, am I your clown?
Oh,
am I your clown, right, in Spanish?
And, am I your clown?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it sounds worse in Spanish.
Yeah, payaso.
Like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Your brother is being pushy. Tell him to back off.
Say hello to my little friend!
Don't be un payaso. The TMOS bonus show is an extra uncensored hour of La Diversión. Every week, order a subscription today by clicking the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com, and you'll have a plethora of the Mike Bonus Show.
Payaso.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Chime. Your bank account should work with you, not against you. Chime is an award-winning app and debit card with no hidden fees or monthly minimums. After all, you earned your money, you deserve to keep it. Chime has fee-free overdraft on up to $100 in debt purchases with SpotMe. It's like overdraft protection, but better. Chime lets you get your paycheck, benefits, stimulus checks, and tax returns up to 2 days earlier with direct deposit. No hidden fees or monthly minimums, plus 38,000 fee-free ATMs with MoneyPass and Visa Plus Alliance. And for security, you can turn on your alerts to let you know when your card is used and instantly block your card if something seems fishy. Join the millions on Chime. Sign up takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. The website is a snap. I loved it. Apply now at Chime.com/TMOS. That's Chime.com/TMOS. Chime is a financial technology company. Banking services provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank, N.A., members FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Overdraft only applies to debit card purchases. Limits start at $20 and may be increased up to $100 by Chime. Early direct deposit depends on the payer. Out-of-network cash withdrawal fees apply. Third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Go to Chime.com/TMOS for details. Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We've been trying to get to this for a while. Oscar hipped us to a documentary that is on, I forgot which one, is it on Netflix?
Netflix, baby.
It's called Operation Varsity Blues. It was the story of the scam of pay for play. Mark Singer, I believe that was the name of the guy that was the pinpoint guy for this particular
scam. Sounds
like
a jeweler.
Yeah, he does. And I guess a failed basketball coach that turned into a college counselor to get people into colleges. And then as the money got bigger, the scams got more detailed. Essentially, as you know by now, people paid this dude to bribe people to get kids into college. And it was so blatant that they would even Photoshop the faces of kids onto athletes' bodies to pretend that they were athletes to get them college admission.
That was my favorite part, the Photoshopping, when they said, does he even know what water polo is?
Yeah, because
he was standing in the shallow end of a pool.
He was standing in the shallow end and said no water polo player could ever have gotten out of the pool that high.
Exactly.
So they did it. But it's amazing. The one thing, Oscar, that jumped out at me, not all the scams, because that everybody knows about.
Yes.
We know that, sometimes these mega rich people are scumbags. It's how they got their money in the first place. What jumped out at me is the word prestige. We talked about it a couple of days ago, that the prestige of some of these institutions, you may, in fact, probably could get just as good an education at hundreds of schools across the country,
if not
compared
better,
to like Yale, Harvard. All I was blown away by that, because I've always been a believer that Ivy League, you go to the Ivy League school, you go to the big school, you go to the well-known school, and that these schools propagate the idea of exclusivity. Mm-hmm. By making it more difficult to get in, because the only barometer, they're not measured in any other way. The only barometer that is given to these schools is what they create themselves, which is how hard it is to get into them.
Right. So,
and I was stunned by that fact. I thought that maybe the professors are better paid, maybe blah, 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 a variety. No, you can get yourself a great education anywhere.
Yeah.
That is true. If you wanted to, you could just go online if you had enough resources and drive, and as my dad would say, ganas, guts, to do it. You could do it on your own. You could go online and learn as much as you'd like. A lot of these universities have their courses that are available for free online, including some of these Ivy Leagues that you can just watch. What I believe is there's two points we have to clarify is, that one, the U.S. News and World Report's top colleges that we always look at growing up, and as a parents you look at the rankings. This is what they're, within this documentary, they're highlighting, is that ranking system comes from prestige. It does not necessarily come from certain analytical data that says this is the best university in the country. That ranking for the U.S. News and World Report. Now, what I do know is that, let's just say the University of Maryland, or most state schools that have some prestige, there are different schools, like the School of Journalism compared to the School of Business, or the School of Engineering compared to the School of Business, that pay their professors different salaries. You think that some people may think it's all the same. You're a college professor, you get paid X amount, and that's across the board. No, because different schools have different levels of competition throughout the country. If you want a great business professor to join your faculty, you have to pay them very well for the School of Business.
Well, I think you are not talking apples and oranges
I'm not talking about
business school, because it's a different animal.
It's a different animal. But my only comparison within the last 10 years is what I've experienced. And I remember talking to Foxworth, because he went to Harvard Business School,
which is the gold standard for business schools, right? The Harvard MBA.
And as I was entering my first year, he was finishing up his second year. And during that time, he had just moved back to DC, and we would be talking about business. And he said, "You know what's interesting?" He brought this up because the same case studies you're reading, like we've read, like it's the same rubric for.
I'm at Harvard and I'm reading the same cases that you have at Maryland.
Yeah, but it's like a boilerplate, right? I mean, the things that really are the precedent-setting cases are going to be the same no matter where you go.
And you, I cannot look. The prestige of the Smith School of Business professors is great. It's not Harvard caliber, where every one of them was, the Secretary of the Treasury.
But
or something
I gotta
like
say
that.
Again, you're using your experience. I'm the talking rubric. Purely undergrad here.
Yes,
undergrad, and when you talk about boilerplate, and you talk about what you're getting at a particular school. I haven't done a deep dive on it because I didn't study in school, and there's just too much going on. But I really would be curious. Any parents out there, and I'd love to hear from you, that did a really deep dive on curriculum.
Yeah.
And professors. And that I, because with the focus of this documentary called Varsity Blues, Operation Varsity Blues, focused really on the scamming. And I had interviews with these people. One guy, a coach for Stanford, the sailing coach. There you go. The sailing coach that got busted. And then spotlighted some of these Richie Riches that tried to cheat the system.
Mm-hmm.
But what they, you know, they didn't do a super deep dive on the quality of it. Mm-hmm. Because, look, I think almost like the analogy I'll draw here, I hate to do football analogies, but a first-round draft pick in the NFL – not necessarily always going to start.
Not
they flame out. They flame out a lot. I think it's the same thing with somebody that gets into Harvard. I think they're not necessarily going to always be incredibly successful. I think the prestige does lift them up to a degree. But when you're talking about the pure education and what you can do with that knowledge, I think the playing field might be remarkably even.
And it
I
think also, it's
that, I believe that.
It falls into a spot and a place where if you're willing to do the work, regardless of which school, like you have to
regardless of where you go, if you really want to know your stuff, right?
Whenever I talk to interns, and I've spoken in college classes, radio classes and stuff like that, and the one solid piece of advice that I give them is this. You can get an internship and that's fine. And you're going to get your credits and that's fine. But what you get, and this I think counts for college as well. What you get out of your internship is going to be exactly equal to what you put into it. And you can show up and do the bare minimum and do what you're told, and that's fine. But the interns that we have that have stuck around and that have really mattered to us have said, hey, can I try this? Hey, can I do this? Yeah. Hey, can I do that? And, you know, we'll do this, 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 and this.
You did.
Well, I mean, I did, actually. I mean,
you
I
did. Would, and yeah. So, you love doing stuff. I mean, you love jumping into every aspect of it because you were into it. We're blessed in this, and that's another thing in the fall. Oh my God. Or maybe even late summer.
Hopefully.
That we could get some interns. Yes. That would be so much fun. But we're blessed in our world with people that want to do this that are usually pretty into it.
Broken.
People like it, you know.
Yeah. But I remember going to school.
Adrian.
I did fine grade wise, but I really began to love college my fourth semester when I got all the required stuff out of the way and I got to focus on more communication stuff. And so if you're into it, I mean, and granted, VCU, it has a decent reputation. It's a good school for the arts. It's a decent school for communications. You disagree?
I think of VCU, I think trashy.
Okay, that's good.
But you know.
Not like Dean. So,
No, WVU, trashy. I'll say it. It's fine.
I took some courses, not at VCU, but on video a long time. I went to VCR.
That's a good school.
American, I think, respectful and expensive. That's the first thing I think of.
Well, I think when we're talking college experience, I really want to know what Oscar thinks. I think it's important.
I'm the most educated here.
Are we having a little cat fight here? I'm not sure, you know.
Meow.
Well, I mean, I think VCU, for School of the Arts, is really one of the top in the country. So there
really?
You
I've yeah. never looked at the rankings.
Oh, so but you're free to offer an opinion, man.
I feel like it's a trashy school.
It's not a trashy school. It's a fine school.
Not only did he go to VCU, he's got a legacy now. He's got a legacy at VCU.
And also, be careful about WVU because Robert sent in a deposit. So in for a dime, in for a dollar.
I went there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, you know what? I like Faber.
Faber.
I like Faber College.
I like the Electoral College.
I like Faber College because knowledge is good.
Emil Faber.
Funny is funny.
Always is.
After all these years, 40 years? I'm still laughing
about
that.
Knowledge is good.
Knowledge is good.
Well, anyway, do your research and just realize that when you're thinking about the prestige, the translation, as they said in the documentary in French, is deceit.
Yeah.
Ooh. We'll take a break and come back with something else right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody.
For your consideration.
Brie, American, Gouda, mild cheddar, camembert, provolone, baby bell, parmesan, mascarpone, burrata, feta, ricotta, gruyere, asiago, gorgonzola, Havarti, Monterey Jack, Stilton, Swiss, Fontina, pecorino romano, and buffalo mozzarella.
She didn't name all of the cheeses, but she named enough of the cheeses. She's Madeline Masiello, the queen of cheese, only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, Maddie. You know, cheese is wonderful. You know what also has cheese? Freshly. Freshly's got cheese.
Love
Getting
it.
Everything you need to cook dinner is complicated right now. But with Freshly, it's simple. Freshly has changed Oscar's eating habits.
Changed the man, yes.
He actually eats grown-up food now because he likes it so bad. It's like, delicious, is it not?
Do you think I'd ever look in a fridge and say, you know what, today I'm not going to have a bag of chips. I'll have some skirt steak. I would love some, and it's right there waiting for me. They've got Dijon chicken when I want it, on demand, three minutes and 30 seconds. Boom, bam, good to go.
That's right.
You know, when Oscar started Freshly, he thought skirt steak was only for women. And he learned. He's learned.
Thank you, Rob. Freshly has chef-made delicious meals delivered fresh to your door. No cooking required. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, better-for-you meals. They are all amazing. Freshly can work for any dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. And now, our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. So, start living life freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. And Oscar, as you know, loves Freshly. Right now, Freshly offering our listeners $40 off with your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/TMOS. Make better eating a priority and get this special limited time offer. Go to freshly.com/TMOS for $40 off your first two orders. Try Freshly now, and for a limited time, get $40 off your first two orders. Go to freshly.com/TMOS to learn more. And we thank you. Welcome back to the show. Whoa, whoa. Yes, Mr. Santana.
I just want to add this. Mm. You don't have to go to college. I'm not saying you don't have, you shouldn't, but you don't have to go to college to be successful in life. I've met enough people in my life.
I mean, there are examples all over the place of people that have done it.
I've worked through, you just have, either path, if your kids are like, hey, let me take a gap year, let them take it. Mm. Let them take it unless you think that they need structure and they have to go. Because a lot of people use college to grow up, and it's a very expensive concept to say, go grow up for 4 years, let me pay $30K.
Yeah, I think if you look at what's put into it compared to what people get, and as Rob mentioned, you get what you put in. That's the way it works. I would also say, though, that as we seem to be tumbling down the road to an idiocracy based on
Zooming.
I see it. I, you know, as a guy with a broadcast journalism degree, I see it in online writing every single day that it's just been thrown out the window. Mm-hmm. Listen, I remember when I was in school for journalism and we were learning how, I think, to write for broadcast. There were so many rules that you could throw out.
Tedious.
Writing
I
for broadcast,
that course.
Yeah.
Print was a little different. More rules in print, more grammar in print. But grammar was a big deal. That's kind of gone out the window right now.
Grammarly.
I would say, yeah, you could be successful without higher education. You could, but I think the country is better off. I think people are better off with the more educated a society that we have.
I feel like in past years we've made. It's not because it's got to be even Steven. Just as I've grown, I needed to go back to business school to understand, to know, I really have a good idea of what I didn't know, which was a lot. I had a wall of levers that I could pull on, that we were lucky, we worked hard, that we're making this engine move. And then when I was done with my MBA, there was not just a wall, it was like a football field of levers that we could, at any time, depending on the dynamics of the business, pull on.
Mm-hmm.
So that really helped for what I wanted to do in my life. But if I was to go back and think about, hey, you know, all the kids that didn't go to college that I grew up with, and look back now, like, some of them are captains of industry. And they just did it their own way.
You know what it always comes down to, in my opinion, and it's this show, it's anything that's even still chugging.
Mm.
It comes down to effort. And I think that I would go so far as to say you can be a very, very educated individual without going to college. You can, if you work at it. But just like anything else, you can be without a college degree. And if you bust your ass and you work, I'm sure there are burnt out lawyers that don't get it done anymore. Plenty of them. But I think the initial endeavor of being a doctor, the classic professionals, doctor or yes. lawyer, mm-hmm. comes from one thing and one thing only. And it's amazing effort. Mm-hmm. The work ethic that I've always found with lawyers that I've worked with is a superior work ethic in many cases, because it has to be. Mm-hmm. It has to be, because you have to know your stuff. And it's the same thing with being a physician. There are no real super shortcuts for that. Whereas in the soft field, like we have, broadcasting, the whole thing is a shortcut.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And you can hear the idiots on the radio prove it every single day that it's that way. It is labor. My brother-in-law, I use as an example, a guy that did have the degrees in mm-hmm. business school, mm-hmm. like you. You know the effort that's put in, and that's like anything. It requires a lot of effort. Are there people that get lucky and sure, happen yeah. to stumble onto something that's that next great idea, or they happen to get lucky because they get a break to go in showbiz or something mm-hmm. like that? Yeah, but still, you know, hard work is what gets you through that. I will always be in awe of medical professionals and people that work in the law, because I always have focused on those two occupations being incredibly labor intensive to get to that point. They have to be. It's a different way they do it. They have to. There's a lot of have to in the law and in medicine. And you know, in our racket, it's more want to.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with people in the field of law, but my mom works very closely with doctors. She schedules for Inova in Loudoun County. And the doctors she worked with, most of them are fantastic, but they all have almost a weird chip that no one else has, that she's discussed this with me, that they are so driven and so focused. It's not like a God complex, but it's they have a innate importance about them because they know what they're doing, and you don't get to that point.
It's responsibility
yeah,
is what it
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. That's very well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and it's not a God complex. It's the responsibility that I am not allowed on any level to cut a corner. Mm-hmm. And not put the effort in, because if I do, somebody could get sick.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or somebody could get an incorrect diagnosis. And that is just the standard. That's the industry standard, to a lesser extent with the law, because yeah. people cut corners with the law. That's the game. But I think early on, when you're coming up through the ranks, it's a lot different. You know. Yeah. So what Oscar says is true, that you don't need to go to a school to be successful. But I think if you have it, if you have it, the opportunity... I mean, it's better.
Well,
it's better for you.
You said something that I think is really telling earlier in this conversation. You said it's probably better for society if we are a more educated society.
Yeah.
And it's not always about knowing states and capitals or your times tables. There's a wisdom that comes with just learning about stuff. It helps yeah. you relate.
And it can it can be anything. It can,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be from a college or a higher learning.
I agree.
It can be anything. I always admire people that have a mile wide depth of knowledge that's might be an inch or two deep, but it doesn't matter. They know a lot about a lot of stuff. And
helps you to understand.
You can look at anybody doing anything, but it's all what you put into it, I think, ultimately. And as far as these schools that we were talking about before, look, if your kid has aptitude, seems to me to be more, more obvious in high schools and public schools and places where kids go to school. Their rating system that people bitch about all the time, at least you get a measure of what schools are doing what.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of the testing that's involved. Once college comes rolling around, not quite sure. You know, I don't think they have those standardized measurement tests for how the school's doing yeah. in college, do they?
No.
I mean, once you get there, they put it in U.S. News and World, and it's prestige.
There's an amazing amount of testing in the public school sector and the high schools, because if you meet the requirements, you get more money. And so they tend to and that's a thing. They tend to teach to that test so that they score well.
Yeah,
I'm
aware of that.
I'll get a survey from at least the Smith School asking me. Well, not asking me, but asking certain parameters for where we are coming out of the program salary wise. So they probably mm-hmm. have a good, like, I guess, baseline to say, if you take this, there's an X amount of salary bump that comes out of your
program. They just want to know how much to ask for this December.
No. They actually forewarned us one before. There's going to be a questionnaire that comes out every year that if we actually filled it out, it helps the school, because it helps them actually track with hard data what the end result of this degree is.
Your return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the attitude towards higher education. Yeah. And I probably am disappointed in myself that I don't have a better attitude. My buddy
You've got talent.
My buddy who was extremely successful, Tony Perkins, extremely successful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They both very active in the alumni at
the American University.
You know what? The guy just retired. He was a super high-powered attorney for one of the biggest companies in the United States of America. He is now retired, and he was president of the Alumni Association.
Mm-hmm.
I was never able to look at it as anything other than, paid the tuition, why do I have to pay now? Duh. not the way it worked. I never do.
Oh, well.
Not a nickel. Not a nickel.
On.
Which is why they haven't named a building after you yet.
Even when I was making the money, didn't peel off any Benjamins. No.
Didn't they reach out?
Did they reach out? Did VCU reach out to you?
On a weekly basis.
They reach out every 10 minutes. Please help us out. Because you got to feed the monster. Feed the monster, you know? Maybe if you let me sleep in a room that didn't smell like urine, I might have peeled off a few more dollars to you. That's the way I kind of look at it.
What goes around comes around, AU.
Like those idiots that say, I'll wait till everybody else gets vaccine. I'll wait till everybody else donates the money. Way to go. Rob, my friend, and not Rob, another Rob that I went to school with, congratulations. And Tony, you did a nice job with the alumni. Just couldn't make it on time. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. We have to take a break. It's just the truth. I'm not proud of it at all. I'm not. I'm really, really, really not. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, you pay tuition.
Yeah.
Why can't they make it work on the tuition? Money, 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 money. We'll take a break. Come back with the digital dumpster right here. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Go to college, kids. All right, all right, all right. It's me, Matthew McConaughey. What's up? I'm just chilling, having a cold one, and getting ready to run for governor of Texas. I live in Austin. All right. I know that everything this dude needs for a great campaign is available at the TMOS Shopping Center. Flags, bunting, yard signs, buttons, also bongos, shell necklaces, body oils, water pies, but no shirts. All right. So don't forget to shop Target and Walmart at MikeOMaraShow.com. Come in the boot. Vote Matt. It's where it's at. I'll run the state smoother than a Texas drawbridge. And if you want to know my platform, I am remarkably centrist because you don't want your government to be all right, all right, all right. Thank you, Matthew. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Truff. We've been telling you about Truff hot sauce for a long time now. We can't really name a food that wouldn't improve without
the addition of
Truff.
I got Maddie a full set of Truff. Maddie, are you enjoying them?
Oh my gosh, it is so good, and it goes with so much stuff.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's great hot sauce, and it's got a quality to it, I think, based on the truffles, that really, really adds a little more body to it.
It's
good
on
everything.
It's not just heat. It has a flavor that is exceptional, and that's what I love about it.
Truff is crafted with a signature blend of red chili, black truffle, organic agave nectar, and savory spices. Truff has over 10,000 five-star reviews and is the number one best-selling hot sauce on Amazon and at Whole Foods. Truff has been named on Oprah's Favorite Things gifting list 2 years in a row. Plus, Truff is made locally in Southern California and is vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO. You can get 15% off site-wide plus free shipping with promo code TMOS at Truff.com. That's 15% off plus free shipping on everything. Just shop at Truff.com. That's TRUFF. FF is in Frank Fontaine. .com. And remember, please use that that code. It's Truff, TMOS, yes. Not Truff. Thank you. Let me
find the lid.
Lots of buttons and sound effects and everything today. It's time for that the thing. Let's go to Rob's
follow up in the digital dumpster. Turns out fight promoters say May 29th, there's no scheduled fight for Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield.
Oh, yes.
But I thought it would be a good chance to play this again.
I just want everybody to know, you know, the fight is on with me and Holyfield. And Holyfield's a humble man. I know that. And he's a man of God. But I'm God's man. And I'm going to be successful May 29th.
He might be successful on May 29th, but as of now, no fight scheduled. So we shall see. We will keep an eye on it.
So what? Iron Mike just got out and was flapping his gums about it?
I believe he was. Mm-hmm.
I don't need to wait for anybody, a promoter anything like that.
Are you God's yeah, man?
God, this smells God's of like, man. look, Mike, we need you to fight one more time before we give you, this is the banker saying, this to Mike Tyson, we need you to fight one more time before we can give you this line of credit. And he goes, I got one set up. I'm fighting Evander Holyfield.
What is the book on him? Has he burned all his cash? Is that?
Well, he went through his fortune a handful of times.
Right.
And now he's making another fortune on medical marijuana or marijuana.
Right.
That's right.
and he's got that project, that TV project that's working.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. So
come on then. Check out some of my edibles.
Some of your what?
Check out some of my edibles.
You are a man of God.
No, I'm God's man.
No, you're God's man. Forgive me.
Yeah. That's
so right. When a Michigan guy decided to go to the police academy, I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about a real cop. And you thought he probably says to himself, I'm going to better society. I'm going to represent the force. I'm going to be a good guy. His right. name is Jonathan Garcia. And on his first day, he made his first arrest. Here he is bettering society.
And we got a call from a few passerby. They described a white male in front of the church there on Pennsylvania. They said that he was pooping right in front of the sign there.
One of the callers in particular, she had young children in the car, and she was justifiably upset.
It was definitely not an animal. It was definitely human in nature.
He did admit to defecating in public. You know, I guess the urge got the most of him, and he was unable to find an accessible restroom right away.
So he arrested the guy not just for pooping in public, but pooping in front of a church sign.
Well, you know, it's nothing any DJ hasn't done once or twice in their lifetimes.
I'm glad you said DJ because, Mike, what about Fort Walton Beach, Florida?
Is this the guy that went into the kennel?
Yes, Kevin McKay from 99 Rock. And, of course, yep. He has long hair. I don't want to totally discount this DJ stunt because he did it in the to save dogs. He said if he could get 50 dogs or cats adopted, he'd spend the night in the kennel. He got 203 adopted, but he's still a disc jockey.
Well, I'm in a lovely, about a 6-foot by 4-foot kennel with the sweetest, most quiet, beautiful female dog. And we're listening to all these other barks, and we don't know why they're doing that. I should have slept in the cat house next door in a little cat bed. Said, let's get 50 dogs and cats adopted.
I hate my profession.
They waived their adoption fees. They're going to do
the turn it off, shelter. God.
He saved all those animals.
But also,
yeah, good for him.
What's great is when
I'm
he
sure
says,
he didn't do it for self-aggrandizement at
I
all.
I love when he says,
or
all these
shtick. Look, it went national. Like, he's playing it.
All these dogs are barking. I don't know why. Yeah.
Because you've never taken a thing that wasn't spoon-fed you and not put it on the air. There it goes.
Mike, the song
I saw the same story, and I discarded it.
They say the most annoying office worker traits you can have are being late, being lazy, or being bad at your job. But the number one is being too loud. Do you find that it's hard around here because we were all in separate rooms? I heard Pony laughing through the glass the other day. But
look, we are loud when we do what we do. Mm. And I find loud talking just sometimes is, you know, I'm a golfer, so I hate
true.
It. I really,
Rob,
really do.
Spiewak is a loud talker when he's just talking with not on air. He's a loud talker.
I am.
Yes.
I get that.
Like I've knocked on the wall or glass before and be like, hey, just level it down a little bit. We're all working within an office environment here.
But the weird
I'll take a loud talker over a close talker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Especially now.
And I'll take a close talker and a loud talker over someone that's chronically late.
You like loud talking would be
not lost on me.
Loud talking would be acceptable in my house when my wife thinks that she can talk through walls.
In what way?
She'll be in another room in the house and at normal volume level say, I'll get this. I'll get
Mike. Do I talk a little swell out there?
And I'm like, what?
The Spider-Man's on the bonnet?
I said, that was the same voice level.
I said,
come out of the room or ask me to come into the room loudly. I cannot be.
This in Mike breaking news whenever it feels like breaking. Charlie Burney writes, Charlie Burney is a loud talker. He is a loud talker. He's very self-aware about it.
I've never perceived Charlie. Yeah, I guess Charlie could be a loud talker. Yeah.
You come at people that are boisterous and they have a big personality. They usually have a loud inside voice.
Yep, I get it. I get it. Loud talking.
We see it a lot. You know, but you are, Mike. You're not a loud talker at all. As a matter of fact, in real life,
there was one time I got to just tell you this because loud talking is a big deal out on the golf course.
Yeah,
and I think 10, 11 years ago, when this club was where men were basically put in their kennels, like that DJ.
Yes.
And the women completely dominate down here. They do. And it's okay. And I'm happy to have
it. You love it. You love it that way.
Absolutely love it that way. But there was, they occasionally will do some loud talking. And the best move of all was I'm hearing, I'm playing with my buddy Skip, and he goes, he's like, my God, that's loud. And I go,
your cab whistle.
Best moments of my life, yeah.
Oh, God, you got the best cab whistle. I've seen you stop a cab across four lanes of traffic in Los Angeles. I've seen it happen. But
I'm talking.
Speaking of the loud talkers, I think the appropriate noise level is best epitomized by Milton Wadhams from the movie Office Space.
I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume. I told Bill that if Sandra's going to listen to her headphones while she's falling, then I should be able to listen to the radio while I'm collating. Uh-huh. So I don't see why I should have to turn down the radio because I enjoy listening.
So you have to keep it at a reasonable volume.
What's his name again?
Milton Wadhams, played by Stephen Root.
Milton Wadhams. You have
Wadhams.
Yeah, I believe that is the first use of Wadhams on the big screen.
Mm. Very exciting.
And we close with this, Mike. There was a show in London where a guy, essentially is a one-man show, where he read love letters that people sent to each other. Sometimes they were lovely, sometimes they weren't. This is the most popular one. This is the one that went viral on TikTok. This is the guy that wrote a letter to his wife, enumerating over the last 52 weeks all the reasons she said no to sex.
During the last year, I have attempted to make love to you 365 times. The following is a list of reasons why I did not succeed. It's too hot, 15 times. It's too late, 16 times. Pretending to sleep, 35 times. It will make the cat jealous, 18 times. I'm too drunk, 17 times. Is that all you think about? 83 times.
I just related to that somehow. That's your digital dumpster. Close it up, lock it up. Have a good Thursday,
that's
everybody.
Good luck with that Suez Canal ship, ever given, Charlie. Hope you get out of that. Listen, we got to take a break here. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I can't believe you're ending this show.
Mm-hmm. It ain't over until it's over.
Oh, good for you.
Ooh, that's a bingo.